does a Christian student survive and even thrive on a secular campus?
This is Issues in Education. I'm Bob Boyd.
And I'm Jerry Boyd.
The percentage of evangelical Bible-believing Christians has been steadily declining to the point that the percentage of Americans born after 1977 is estimated to be only 4% Christian. Not long ago, Christians were a majority in this country, but it's coming down to just 4% of this current generation. How has this happened? Barna's research shows basic beliefs are formed before age 13, and those beliefs remain throughout life.
Where are these youngsters forming their beliefs?
90% go to public school, where they hear nothing about God but everything about evolution.
Our guest is Abby Nye, who is the author of Fish Out of Water, Surviving and Thriving as a Christian on a Secular Campus.
Listen to this. Abby's English teacher and the department head told her the Bible cannot be used in academics because, get this, it's a book of myths. And on top of that, she was required to buy a Quran for her required class in Islam. She's required to treat the Quran as a holy book, but the Holy Bible is trashed because it's a book of myths. Why are colleges requiring classes on Islam, which is the religion behind the 9/11 attacks, and ridiculing the religion that built and prospered this nation?
I just wanted to ask you, you were talking about in one of your classes, the teacher asked how many of you were familiar with the term BC, which of course means before Christ. Mm-hmm. So tell us what happened there.
In a required class that all sophomores have to take on Islam, the professor asked us if we were familiar with the term BC, before Christ, when we use dates. And 100% of the class raised their hands. And then she said, we will not be using that in this class because it is offensive. Not a single person in the class said, that is so offensive to me. I mean, we've all grown up with it. And yet it's like this other world at college where they're so liberal and just the political correctness. I mean, it's funny. I mean, we can no longer use BC.
That's crazy.
The rest of the world is using it. Our calendar is based off it. Can we no longer do that?
And here's another question. Why did everybody have to take Islam? I mean, that's something really new.
Oh, I know. And, of course, that comes about after 9/11. I think it's like this diversity training, you know. Would we ever be required to take a class on biblical truth or Christian principles? No. There'd be so much outrage, and yet they can get away with requiring everyone to take a class on Islam.
Look at this. People would not go along with you having to take a course in Christianity. I mean, do you realize the uproar about that? But yet Islam's fine.
And Christianity founded America, and Islam was the ones that flew the planes into the World Trade Center. You'd think it'd be the other way around.
I know. It's like they want us to respect them, but yet what they did to us, it's just unbelievable.
You wrote about Brooke on the first day in her English class. The professor gave the class a chant to sing. No one knew what the chant meant, so Brooke asked the professor what it meant. And he said it meant praise to Buddha.
Right. This is an English class, not a class on Buddhism or religions of the world. It's an English class. And every day at the beginning of class, they're required to sing praise to Buddha. How wrong is that? And they don't even know what they're saying, first of all. You know, nobody cares to ask except this one Christian girl. The irony there and the sadness there is that you have Christians sitting in the class that are singing praise to Buddha. I don't know why, but like for some reason they're not smart enough to put two and two together that you shouldn't be singing praise to Buddha and then praise to Jesus at Campus Crusade or church later in the week. You shouldn't be doing both.
Yeah. Well, now here's another thing. Before you were mentioning how that the professors think the Bible is a myth, so I'm wondering in your class that you're required to take on Islam, are they talking about the Quran? Like the Quran is like the book that is true?
They talked about it with great dignity and required us to do a lot of things that we wouldn't have if it were the Bible. Because Muslims view the Quran as the holy book, they don't let it ever sit on the floor. And if they're carrying books, it can't ever be on the bottom, like it has to be on the top. That's what we had to do in class. Like, we were not allowed to ever have our Quran on the floor. Not to mention, hello, did I mention that we had to purchase a Quran?
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yeah, that's a required book. So we have these purchased Qurans that we bought, and we cannot set them on the floor like we would our other textbooks, you know, because it is their holy book. So, yes, we treated it with great dignity, like it is a holy book.
Now, isn't that just disgusting, really, because the Bible is just anathema. I mean, let's not even bring the Bible into a discussion. Let's not even, don't
right.
bring one on campus, and yet
right.
let's treat the Quran as holy. How much sense does that make? mistake when this is a nation that was founded on Christian principles.
Hello. Do Christians realize what is happening? Now, Islam, you said, is a required class?
Right.
Well, in your required Islam class, the professor said Allah is the same as the God of the Bible, and you countered that that could not be since Jesus is God. What happened?
That led to a big discussion, and actually a discussion that lasted throughout the semester, because one of the main things that she said was that Jesus didn't think he was God. She firmly believed that Jesus did not think he was God. You know, I thought, hey, Jesus knew he was God. Why else would he die on a cross and forgive our sins and live a perfect life? So I wrote a paper about who Jesus is and what the Bible says about Jesus and his deity and gave it to her. And I think she was really impressed.
In John 14, Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father, that'll be enough for us. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long and you don't know me? To know me is to know God. I and the Father are one. I mean, over and over, Jesus said that he was God. Before Abraham was, I am, which is the very name God called himself in the Old Testament.
You don't have to be a biblical scholar to know those basic things, you know, that Jesus knew he was God.
Right, and I mean, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and Jesus was the Word. He
right,
became
actually,
flesh.
I remember now, in that class, when she first said that, there were a handful of Christians, and they spoke up with verses. There were a number of us that were able to do that and say, hey, well, here's a verse in the Bible, you know, off the top of our heads, because we're not carrying Bibles with us. We're carrying the Quran.
Oh, but what gets me is that taxpayers, and many of them are Christians, have to pay to indoctrinate our young people into the atheist religion, into Islam, into evolution.
And I don't think the average person in America knows what it's really like on a secular campus. The average Christian doesn't know.
And then here's another thing I wanted to say. You mentioned that your first assignment in English class was to write an analytical response to your choice of these selected essays. They were crazy, the topics. Among the topics, it said you could analyze taking under God out of the pledge or an essay on why we should sympathize with the murderers at Columbine.
Or the third one was that God cannot exist because if he's all-powerful and all-loving, he wouldn't let bad things happen. It's really an indoctrination into atheism. But you did something about that, didn't you?
Oh, I did. The essays that we had to choose from, they're all liberal pieces. I mean, far, far, far left, your most extreme left liberal pieces. But the good thing was that we could use our own beliefs to analyze the essays. And he said, I encourage you to use your personal beliefs and convictions. I'm like, okay, you know, it doesn't matter what I analyze in because I can still hold on to my Christian beliefs. But before we wrote our articles, we discussed the article in class, and to promote discussion, had all of our desks arranged in a circle, and yet nobody was speaking up. I mean, I'm just surprised at how apathetic college students are. Without MTV and music and dancing, you just can't get them going. So I started off the conversation, and I said, you know, his conclusion is wrong, because I believe that God does exist, and the God that exists is all-knowing, all-loving, and all-powerful. And that's all I said, and then bam, from there, the classroom just exploded, and student after student and the professor firing these questions at me. I'm a freshman. This is the first month of class, and I was not expecting this, but there were good questions and great discussions on, does God exist? Why is there evil in the world? All these questions that people struggle with. And it was such a good opportunity, but the hostility was very strong, and most of it came from the professor himself.
Wow, isn't that incredible?
Yes.
Most of the hostility came from the professor himself. You were asked if you believed the Bible was true, and you said you did. And at that point, the teacher said, dude, isn't this the book with a talking snake and the magic fruit referring to the fruit and snake in the Garden of Eden? He asked you if you thought snakes could talk.
Right. At first, I think I was just shocked at his attitude toward the book that I view as holy. Because would he dare do that to an Islamic student, a Muslim student, with the Quran? No way he would be faced with a lawsuit automatically. I mean, he could lose his job if he did that. But yet, they feel free to do that with Christian students. And so I said to him, I said, if I looked out the window and I saw a snake, I would not think that that snake is going to come up and talk to me. But I believe in such a powerful God that I believe that he can do anything and he can make animals talk and he could make that snake talk if he wanted to. I said, I'm not ready to throw out the whole metaphysical realm. Are you? And he looked at me just with a blank face. He was caught. He really didn't have anything to say except with his bitter comments.
Well, you know what's the problem here is he thinks the Bible is a myth. And a lot of the professors do, apparently. And I guess students.
Mm-hmm. I was told by the head of the English department and my professor that You cannot use the Bible in academic circles because it is a book of myth.
Wait,
bottom line, I know, you know, millions of people, scholars, that would disagree with them. But because these two guys say the Bible is a book of myth, you cannot use it. You cannot use it in the classroom.
Oh.
This is not science class where you're saying the Bible is not scientific. This is an English literature class, right?
Right, where we are told to use our own personal beliefs and convictions.
Now, isn't that said? Your personal belief and conviction has to do with reading the Bible and believing that the
right.
Bible's true, and yet they told you can't use that.
Right.
Oh.
They are trying to reprogram my own personal beliefs and convictions, take them away from me.
So you wrote this essay, and you got a B- because,
right.
really, because you had a Christian worldview.
Yes, I did. My paper was analyzing the article that said God didn't exist, or that he's not good. And at one point in my paper, I said, according to Christian beliefs, God is good. So on my paper, the professor circled the word good and said, what is good?
Oh.
And, you know, how am I going to know in an English class which words I'm going to have to define for him? I thought we were over that, you know?
She went to the English department head, and they had a hearing with the department head and the teacher. There was a hearing, right?
Right. And the head of the department never came up with anything that was wrong with my paper, besides the fact that I was a Christian. You know, I said to them, this is so ironic because the school that I'm at prides itself on diversity. And yet, you want diversity, and yet you won't allow diversity of thought. And I'm a Christian, and I feel like I'm being persecuted.
Right. Where's the tolerance, right? They just talk about tolerance, but they're not tolerating you.
Right. And I said to them, if I were a Muslim, we would not be having this meeting. And they looked at me like, she's right, we wouldn't be.
And then he said, where did you get this idea that God is not evil? And you said, the Bible.
Right. And he said, that's not in the Bible. I try not to laugh, and I try not to look shocked, or like, you call yourself a literary critic, a professor, you're educated. And so I'm thinking all those things, and I don't say them. And I say, well, it is in the Bible. Would you like me to get out the Bible and show you? And right away, he says, oh, no, that's not necessary.
Hmm.
The Bible is a plague. We don't want to come near it. We don't want to look at it, but we are experts on it.
Yeah, that's great. You asked the department head if you could write your ideas from a Christian perspective, since all other perspectives are okay. I mean, why can't you have a Christian perspective? If you were writing from a set of lesbian assumptions or Wiccan assumptions or Muslim terrorist assumptions, that's all okay, but not traditional Christian ideas, right?
That's right. That is essentially when they told me that you can't use the Bible in academic circles because it's a book of myths.
Isn't that incredible?
And that's how it ended. After 45 minutes, they didn't have anything that was really wrong with my paper or why I deserved a low grade, except that I was a Christian.
But look at this. To be taught that the Bible in academic circles is not used because it's just myths. I mean, that is such blatant discrimination against Christians. You have to wonder why Christian leaders don't realize that we're training this generation to give up their Christian beliefs. Where are the Christian leaders? Why don't they speak out against this?
Right. And if he were a true liberal, wouldn't he be against banning books? And yet essentially what they're doing is banning the Bible. And then at the end, my professor spoke up and he says, what grade did you want to get? And I looked him straight in the eyes and I said, I am not here about the grade. I want to know if it's going to be like this the rest of the semester. Can I be a Christian and hold to my own beliefs, or am I going to be graded down for them the entire semester? And he was shocked because he thought this is just some freshman girl whining and complaining about her grade. And for him to see that I was not concerned with the grade, that I would rather fail than fall in step with his beliefs, and that I was willing to do so because that's what I told him that I would do. I said, I will fail. I will get an F in this class, and I will keep using the Bible. And I think that really impacted him for the rest of the semester.
That's
and so
powerful.
Did you get to write how you wanted to, your beliefs throughout the semester, and got graded decently?
Yeah, I kept writing from a Christian perspective, but in the classroom, the discussion, he would always find something that would go against Christianity. His questions just elicit anger, but you have to remember to be kind and sweet in response. And so in the classroom, it was always just a struggle and a battle, and I knew every day. And like, you know, sometimes it's fun, it gets the fires going and it's enjoyable, but other times you get worn down, especially when you're the only one in the class speaking up, and especially when you know that there are other Christians in the class and yet they're too scared to speak up.
The very first time that you confronted everybody's like just blasting you with questions, was your heart pounding? I mean, because that's your first experience with this hostility. How did you feel?
Oh, there were just so many emotions. You kind of just ignore the pounding heart and just go with it, and trying to pray at the same time that you're giving responses. And yet at the same time, like, I felt so prepared for it because I went to a good Christian school. I kind of knew how to come back with responses. We'd practiced it in class in high school and done debate like that on both sides of the issue, so I was used to that aspect of it. But the thing that struck me the most, I remember when I was walking out of the classroom and I got back to my room, and I thought, this is so sad. Because those people actually believe the things they just said. It's not like high school anymore where we're all Christians and we're just pretending to debate those things. These people actually believe that there is no God. They believe in evolution. They believe that they were an accident, that they have no purpose in life. And I mean, I was just struck with such sadness mm-hmm. for them because, you know, the hope that I have in Christ, I want everyone else to have too. I mean, it's just overwhelming.
That is overwhelming. And then what is also sad is the fact that you said there were other Christian students in the classroom, but they didn't back you up. Nobody said anything?
They're too scared. And I mean, I don't blame them. It's very scary. The fear there is so tangible. But I know that there are other Christians because I saw them at Campus Crusade.
So that's why I admired you and your courage for standing up so much. That was beautiful. But I think a lot of these Christians, they haven't received the training. They don't have the convictions. They're not as strong a Christian as you are. And so let me just say, so that's why it's so essential for Christians to get their children educated in a Christian worldview before they go to college. Otherwise, they just wash out in college.
Definitely. I think that is very important. And, you know, as much as I would encourage other Christians to go to secular schools because, hey, I would like support in the classroom, I do not think it's the best place for every Christian student. And if you read this book, you can have your eyes open and you can make a better decision as to where to go to college. Maybe a secular school isn't a good fit for you because you're not grounded enough in your worldview and maybe you'd be too easily swept away. And I think it's more important to guard your own spirituality than get swept away with the crowd.
That's right. So you had a Christian education, and I just think that what you said is so important because I just would not want to send these Christian kids that have attended public school into this environment because I don't think that they'll be able to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the Christians just want to go along to get along. They just want to play the game and just get their grade. But what they're really doing is they're swallowing the indoctrination of the liberal atheists without realizing it. And so they may or may not, what is it, 9 out of 10 basically give up the Christian faith after they graduate. So what we're doing, really, we're surrendering the Christian youth of this country to an indoctrination into atheism. And that's not very smart for Christian leaders.
No, it's not. And I hate to see Christian students play the game, as they call it. You know, I was talking to an older lady who had a college student also, and I was telling her my struggles in the classroom and how I was getting graded down, and she said, oh, my son had that same problem. But, you know, then you just learn how to play the game and give them what they want. And I was so sad because I was looking for, like, encouragement and support from this strong Christian lady, and this is what she had to tell me? I'm sorry, but no. I mean, I'm not going to give up that easily. I am not going to just give them what they want. You know, it'd be real easy to. I mean, it's a lot easier to write a paper spitting back their beliefs than it is to write a paper that you know is going to be critiqued with a fine-tooth comb, and you're going to have to sit down and read probably 5 other books on Christian beliefs, on evolution, and all this stuff, like, in order to even write your paper. That takes a lot more work. So to play the game is easy, but to play the game is to deny Christ, I believe.
But it's not without cost, because you said after that classroom experience, you went home and you cried and your whole body shook like a leaf.
That's embarrassing. Yeah, I mean, it just, Christianity, God just means so much to me that it's hard. It can be very, very discouraging and very tough.
Well, now, why in the world are they not tolerant of Christian beliefs? They're intolerant of you.
It's because they can get away with it, and I don't know why they can get away with it. I think mainly it's because so many Christians aren't speaking up.
Tell us about the biology teacher at Texas Tech who said any student who wants his recommendation to medical school or graduate school must affirm that they believe in evolution.
Right.
Now, we're speaking about Micah Spradling.
Right. Micah wanted a recommendation to medical school, but yet, as a Christian, Micah believes in creation and could not affirm evolution as truth. He was really left with no other option, and so what he did was transfer to a Christian school, graduated, to get into med school, and then came back with lawyers and sued this professor for doing that. And, you know, that worked because that professor had to change his policy. He no longer says that you have to believe in evolution. He says that you have to be able to say what it is, but you no longer have to believe that it is truth.
Boy, isn't that excellent that that guy stood up for his beliefs?
It's great, but the sad thing is that look what he had to do in order to do it. He had to transfer to a Christian school. He's no longer welcome at a secular school, so he had to transfer, and he had to get lawyers involved.
And it wasn't until he went to another school and he hired lawyers that exposed the corruption of this biology teacher who said, you know, basically if you're a Christian, you have no right to a medical education. Mm-hmm. And so if it hadn't been for him, that teacher would have continued to discriminate against Christians. And that's why it's so amazing that Christian leaders, many of them will say, Christians should expect to be persecuted and just let the atheists take our young Christians and to not fight back. This is spiritual suicide. Jesus came to set the prisoners free and destroy the works of the devil. We should not just sit in the back of the bus.
Oh, definitely not.
And you said in your book that as your roommate sat in freshman biology class the first week of school, the professor asked, does anyone not believe in evolution? And if they did not believe in evolution, would they please raise their hands? And you said your Christian roommate and another student both raised their hands.
I mean, can you imagine the intimidation? Those two girls had the guts to raise their hand, and yet they became a target the rest of the semester.
What happened?
Discussion in the classroom, their papers. He took it on himself to make it his goal to get them to believe in evolution. My roommate had written a paper, and he wrote, please make an appointment to see me because there is flaw in the way you think. Something just outrageous like that, where he wanted to help fix the way that she thinks and what she believes in, essentially.
Why would you go to a secular college when you could be at a Christian college hearing great Christian speakers discussing theology and the Bible instead of having your faith ripped apart and ridiculed by hardened atheist professors?
I don't know. I think about that all the time. I mean, it's a struggle, and it's something that I struggled with so much, especially freshman year. I wanted to transfer. I missed the Christian environment, the Christian professors, being able to pray in a classroom or go to chapel, hear good speakers. Like, I love that because it's so much of what I enjoy, and yet I was missing all that here, and instead I was being persecuted. I felt alone, just the hostility that was toward me.
Didn't you get involved in some youth groups? Were there some Christian groups or Bible studies to encourage you through this process?
Yeah, that's one of the most fundamental things that can help a Christian student on a secular campus. Right away, get plugged in with Campus Crusade or InterVarsity or Navigators so that you can realize you may be the only Christian in the classroom, but you are not the only Christian on campus. You know, there are others that believe the same things that you do and who can support you and encourage you. So I think it's very important to get involved.
All right. Abby Nye, author of Fish Out of Water. How can people get your book?
Amazon.com and local Christian bookstores.
I think this is an excellent book for kids that are Christian that are in public school, Abby.
And parents and grandparents, too, to know what's going on, and especially youth pastors. I think if we could get it in their hands, they could help the youth also.
God bless you, and you're an inspiration. I'm just sure people were drawn to Christ because of your example.
I hope so.
Our guest, Abby Nye, a courageous Christian who took a stand for biblical Christianity under tremendous persecution in her classroom, has survived. Abby survived as a Christian only because she was well prepared before she got there. She was valedictorian at Heritage Christian High School, where she learned not just about evolution, but the fallacies of evolution. She didn't just learn worldviews, but she learned why the Christian worldview is best for any nation and any person.
And most importantly, she learned how to think biblically and argue in debates for God's goodness and for absolute moral values.
So when the English class discussed not Shakespeare or Milton like it used to be, but when they discussed such heretical ideas like this, why America deserved the terrorist attacks of 9/11, or why God should be removed from the pledge, she had excellent reasoned arguments to counter them. But she also said that after she left class, she realized that those students in her class were serious. They didn't believe the gospel, they had rejected God, and they had no chance of heaven. That was so incredibly sad to her to realize that.
Many of them may have been raised as Christians, but they had no Christian beliefs, and they no longer believed in moral absolutes.
In other words, they had lost their faith. Christians need to make a Christian education a top priority. We need to raise up a generation like Abby Nye who can defend their Christian faith, or this nation won't have a chance at survival. If you're a parent, how does this scripture apply to the education of your child? Listen, Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
What does this mean regarding educating your child in the pattern of the world?
Should you put your children in schools that force them to conform to the pattern of this world, or give them a renewed mind based on your transformed life and the scriptures? Or in Ephesians 6, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
You can download a free podcast of this program from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1883, Surviving College. That's number 1883, Surviving College. And you can order a CD copy of this program from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. Or give us a call at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000 from 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.